you'll turn with me in your Bibles, please, the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter number 16 and 18. Really just chapter 18, or because of time. Chapter 18, 2 Kings, chapter 18. I'm going to speak this afternoon of the subject of being used by God. Being used by God. I grew up playing sports. You grew up in Adrian, didn't you? Yeah, Pastor Turner and my son-in-law, I have one son-in-law, grew up in the same church, Berean Baptist Church of Adrian, Michigan. I was just thinking about that. But I loved to play sports. I was always a little bigger than most people. You would not know that by looking at me, I realize, but when I was born, I weighed 11 pounds and 6 ounces. I was 6'5" by ninth grade with a size 13 shoe, and I stopped getting taller, then I just started getting wider. But I played football in the fall, basketball in the winter, baseball in the spring. You say, what about soccer? What about the World Cup? The only way I'd be interested in the World Cup is if they filled it up with sweet tea. But that's another story. But no, if you're a soccer fan, more power to you. I raced motorcycles in the summer. I did a lot of water skiing, actually taught water skiing at camps. I love sports. But I never enjoyed sitting on the bench. Why is it that so many people in Christendom are happy just sitting on the bench? Can I tell you this afternoon that God saved us to serve and not to sit? Repeat that one more time. God saved us to serve and not to sit. Many hands make the burden light. One man said the average church is like an NFL stadium or a CFL stadium. Where 60,000 people badly in need of exercise are screaming at 22 people badly in need of rest. A lot of truth to that. But I want to share with you from the life of a man who was used by God, what he did that allowed God to use him. I love to study biographies. I love to study the people of the Bible. I've written Sunday school curriculum on lives of legends, 13 different men, on David and Moses and Peter and Paul, and I'm starting a new one now on Elijah and Elisha. And I love to look at these men that God had his hand on. Why did he bless them? Why did he use them? David, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. 1 Samuel 13:14, Acts 13:22. He had the heart of God. Others drew near to God. But today we're going to look at a man who became king at a young age. His name was Hezekiah. 2 Kings 18, beginning in verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. I've had the privilege since May the 10th of traveling with these four young people and with my wife. My wife back here somewhere, there on the aisle. We've been married for 37 years. And these young people, it's their first time traveling with me. It's a unique group. Philip on the end was born in Longview, Texas, where his grandfather pastored. And then where his dad has now been a pastor for many years, he grew up in a preacher's home. Erica, her dad was in the Navy. Her mother a nurse in San Diego. Faithful members of church. A deacon of the church. Then we go to the Huntress here. This is Autumn. She's from Alaska. Her father was a pastor. Her grandfather was a pastor. By the way, she has shot deer, moose, elk, bear, cats. No, just kidding about that. And then we've got over here Josiah, wherever he's at. We lost him. But our piano player, his dad was a music director at a Sunday school. He's in the back. At a Sunday school superintendent. They grew up in ministry. I was born on the campus of Bob Jones University. My dad was a Bible teacher there. He got saved when he was in his 20s. Literally 3.5 years after getting saved, he was teaching Bible at Bob Jones University. Student body president. Got an honorary doctorate when he was 33. Now, you might say, we understand why these people serve God. You might be saying, I've never been to Bible college. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I wasn't trained that way. Can I have you flip back two chapters to chapter 16? I would like to show you the home that Hezekiah grew up in. In chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says this. Very interesting passage. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. Now, let me just say this. Hezekiah was the son of Ahaz. Very simple. 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord God, Lord his God, like David his father. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. Yea, he made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord came out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places, and on the hills, and on every green tree. Hezekiah was the son of a wicked, vile, child-burning father. They served a god called Molech. Molech was made out of brass. Molech would always have an empty cavity in his abdomen. Molech would have a hole in the front, and his arms would reach out like this with metal between them. The arms like this, they would roll babies down the arms into the fire of the belly. His father sacrificed his sons to a false god. Not a good home. An idol worshiper, burning incense to false gods. And yet God used him in a great way. What did he do? What happened here that God blessed and used in such a great way? Look with me, if you will, first of all. We see, first of all, in verse number 3, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. If you'd like to write something down in your Bible, I'd like you to write down 4 phrases today. I'd like you to write down, first of all, that he responded to God. God will speak to people. God will speak to you. He will speak to me. The question is, will we respond when God speaks to us? God's going to tell us, you need to witness to that neighbor. Can I ask you a tough question today, friends? Do your neighbors know who your Jesus is? Do those at work know who your Jesus is? Maybe just your block. You say, well, you're from Southern California. You must live near a lot of good Christians. The 2 ladies on my right are lesbians. They work at Edwards Air Force Base, employed by the U.S. government. They have not been open to the gospel. The folks on our left grew up in Catholicism. Praise the Lord. After about 4 years, they finally came to Lancaster Baptist Church. I was able to lead them to Christ. Do you have a lot of Christians in your neighborhood? No, we do not. But everybody needs to know who Jesus is. Amen. Do your neighbors know? Does your barber know? Do the people where you shop know who your Jesus is? How about your coworkers? You are probably the best Christian they know. Hezekiah, first of all, we see he responded to God. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. What was it that he did right? Well, can I say this today, my friends? God will only use a clean vessel. You don't have to be a new vessel. You don't have to be an educated vessel, but you have to be a clean vessel. The Bible says it this way, a vessel fit for the master's hand. In our home, we have a cupboard full of glasses. I like to use a glass that's clear. I like to hold the glass up to the light to make sure it's clean. Now, not so much now because my children are gone and my wife does the dishes, so I know they'll be clean. But when I grew up in a preacher's home with seven kids, my mom was very busy. She'd cook dinner, but she didn't do dishes. I would always check to see if it was clean. I would hold it up to, there's nothing like drinking out of glass and see there's something on the inside that doesn't match your dinner. Or eating with the tongs or fork, there's something stuck between the tines. And you go, that's not on my plate. How do we know we're clean? We hold our lives up against the light of the Word of God. Amen. The Bible says, Lord, search me, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me. God wants us to be a clean vessel for Him. Well, the first thing that Hezekiah did was he responded to God. Secondly, the second thing he did is very clear here. Look down a little bit further with me, if you will, to verse number 4. He removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. First, write down, he responded to God. Secondly, he reacted to sin. He reacted to sin. How do you handle sin in your life? How do you handle sin in your family? It is our sins that separate us from God. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to root out the sin. Not to put it in the cupboard, not to hide it in the closet, so we can return like a dog to its vomit. But God wants us to get rid of it. It says about Hezekiah, he removed the high places. People are always trying to lift themselves up, and God wants us to make ourselves low. The Bible says we should prostrate ourselves before God. The Bible says he break the images. Why would he break the images? The Word of God says, thou shalt not have any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Most of us would say that we don't have a graven image in our life. But I believe there's some people whose graven image is sport. Maybe it's golf, or fishing, or hunting. Maybe it's a sports team we like to follow that has become an idol in our life. I'm thankful for you're here tonight. I'm thankful that you chose to be in the house of God rather than to be in a place, Vancouver, that worships their off time and going to the beach and going to the city. God wants us to react to sin. Sin is a destroyer. Years ago, there was a great preacher. His name was Dr. Bob Jones Sr. He said, I would rather put my hand in a barrel of rattlesnakes than to play with sin. Don't dabble with it. Shut it out. If I have iniquity in my heart, the Bible says, the Lord will not hear me. The Lord will not hear us. So we see, first of all, he responded to God. Secondly, he reacted to sin. And let me just say this. It says he break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days, the children of Israel did burn incense to it. I don't like snakes. If you like snakes, there's something wrong with you. Just kidding. No, I'm just serious. I was serving on the staff in Powell, Tennessee, at a college I helped found called Crown College. We were pastor attended. And Larry Nicely, you remember Brother Nicely, a good guy most of the time. He found out I didn't like snakes. And one day he asked me, he found a big black snake about 2 or 3 feet long. He killed it. And he wound it up around the bottom of a seat of a John Deere riding lawnmower. And he rubber banded it in place. Then he said to me, this is where they have that room now, it used to be a storage shed. He said, Dr. R., would you bring the riding mower down to the soccer field? I said, sure. It was kind of a gravel road at that time. It may still be, I don't know, going down the soccer field. I said, that'll be fun. And I fired up that lawnmower and got it going. Turned that thing around the road, kind of slid a bit there. And as it started to bounce down that gravel road, those rubber bands that held that snake in place came loose. And that snake fell down by my feet. And it was jumping up and down. Now, I played a lot of sports, but I was never in gymnastics. I saw that snake. I put my hands in the seat. I did a reverse vault off that mower. You say, what about the mower? I didn't care about that mower. Larry Dicey was laughing so hard he was crying. I wanted to kill the brother in Christian love. I don't like snakes. But God used snakes as a punishment on his people. By the way, he punished them because they murmured and complained. God killed more people in the Old Testament for murmuring and complaining than he did for idolatry. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Are you a rejoicing person or a complaining person? And Moses interceded, and God said, make a brazen serpent, lift it up, and if people will look, they will live. This was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ who would be lifted up on Calvary's cross many years later. According to Usher's chronology, this took place 700 years before Hezekiah. They kept this serpent, but it had taken the wrong place in their life. We need to be so careful that we don't let something take the wrong place in our life. So, we see he responded to God. Secondly, he reacted and said, look down a little further, if you will. It says this in verse 5. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. I'd like you to write this statement down, the third of four statements. We see now that he relied on the Lord God. He relied on the Lord God. He trusted in him. Phil, come here for a second, if you will. Phil's my friend. He'll be a junior in the college next year. Would you stand up right up here? Face that way. Have just the heels off the step. Just the heels. And what I want you to do is I want you to lean back on me. We'll leave it right. Phil doesn't like heights. I know that. At all. Right now he's singing, Nearer My God to Thee. But Phil knows I'm a friend of his father. I know his grandfather. In his heart, Phil knows I'm not going to hurt him. For one thing, if I let him go, Autumn would die. Right? That'd be a horrible thing. And I would lose my baritone and my alto at the same time. Of course I'm not going to let him go. Now, you realize if I stepped out very quickly, he would fall. But he trusts me. Can I ask you a question? Do you trust God? I care about Phil. If he had a need, I would try to help him. But I don't think I would die for him. Jesus loved you so much that he died for you. Why not just trust him? He relied on the Lord. He trusted in the Lord. My friends, the Bible says the arm of flesh will fail you. But Jeremiah the prophet said his arm fails not. Okay, Phil, you get down. Let's give him a hand. He didn't fall down. Good job, right? Can I ask you a question today? If people looked at you, who would they say that you're relying on? Are you relying on your job? Are you relying on the government? Are you relying on social medication? Or are you relying on the Lord? Hezekiah relied on the Lord. What a wonderful thing. So the Bible says that he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. What a wonderful thing. God cares for you. You matter to him. You matter to him. We live in a world where people are consumed with time on Facebook. And we say we have so many friends. Would they be there when you need them? Jesus is a friend that's closer than a brother. And you can rely on him. So we see that he responded to God. We see, secondly, he reacted to sin. We see, thirdly, he relied on the Lord. But then, fourthly, he was rewarded by God. The book of Deuteronomy, every book of the Bible, I believe, has a theme. And the theme of the book of Deuteronomy is this. There is a reward or a blessing for obedience and a curse or a loss for disobedience. When we do what God tells us to do, he blesses us. Do you know, my friend, there's a blessing for reading the Word of God. There's a blessing for memorizing the Word of God. There's a blessing for meditating on the Word of God. Did you read his Word today? Did you meditate on it today? Did you think about it? God wants his Word to guide us and to lead us. But the Holy Spirit cannot bring to mind that which is not in our mind. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. God wants us to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, yet hearing by the Word of God. The entrance of thy words giveth light. What was the reward that we see here? The Bible says this, and I love this. It says in verse 7, the Lord was with him. That, my friends, is a blessing. The Lord was with him. And then it says this, he prospered. He prospered. I challenge you today to look up the one time in the Bible the word success is mentioned. Some of you who've been saved longer than others know, but I challenge you to look it up. But I think that every one of us here would like to prosper in our life. That's a natural response. And I believe I can tell you today that if you, like Hezekiah, will respond to God, if you, like Hezekiah, will react to sin, if you, like Hezekiah, will rely on the Lord, I believe you will be rewarded by God. But there's a price to pay, and that choice is ours. It's up to us. You've listened so well today, and I thank you for that. And I close with this last illustration. There was a young boy who lived in a town not too far from Knoxville called Stinking Creek, Tennessee. His name was Tommy, a true-to-life story. And Tommy was a prodigious checkers player. I read the paper yesterday that a young Indian boy became the second youngest grandmaster in chess ever at the age of 12. Amazing. Amazing. Tommy was great at checkers, and when he was 5 and 6, he was beating everybody in elementary school. By the time he was 7 or 8 years of age, he was beating everyone in the high school. By the time he was 9 or 10, he was beating adults 97, 98 times out of 100. Well, when that happens, people don't really want to play against that type of person. No one likes to get their brains beat out like a redheaded stepchild every time they play. So when people would come through Stinking Creek, Tennessee, people would say, hey, you like to play checkers? And most people say yes. They say, well, you know, Tommy likes to play. He's always looking for someone to play. Would you play him one game? And Tommy would sweep the board and win again. And the word began to spread that there's a little boy in Stinky Creek, Tennessee, who is really, really good at checkers. One day, word came down from the neighboring state of Kentucky that there was an old man. I don't know his name. We'll call him Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith was in his 80s, and he, too, was extremely good at checkers. Well, each of the towns had a paternalistic pride in their checkers champion. They decided to set up a match to see who was the best between Tommy in Tennessee and old Mr. Smith in Kentucky. On the appointed day, a caravan came down out of the hills of Kentucky and got there to Stinking Creek. They'd usually play inside the old country store, but there were so many people there to see the game that, sort of like in a Cracker Barrel, they moved the barrel outside and put a rocking chair on either side of it. Well, Tommy was so young and so little that he couldn't see over the board. They had to put a box on the seat of the rocking chair, and someone propped the legs up so it wouldn't rock during the game, and he sat on the box and put his feet on the chair. And old Mr. Smith, wearing coveralls made out of denim, they'd been washed so many times, they were the palest shade of indigo. His old flannel shirt was threadbare with the multitudinous washings that had endured. He had rolled it up about to his elbow, and his skin, as is the wont of the extremely elderly, was almost translucent with age. You could tell he wasn't used to really combing his hair. He kind of slicked it back, but there were a few errant shocks of white hair sticking up. The old gentleman sat down and said, "Go ahead, sonny." And Tommy didn't like that. He felt like the old man had dissed him or disrespected him. And Tommy kind of went, "Huh." But the game began. Tommy made a move, and the old man made a move, and back and forth, and Tommy took a piece, and Tommy took another piece, and Tommy took another piece, and finally the old man took a piece, and Tommy took a fourth piece, up 4-1. He looked at his sister, who was also quite talented, like, "You could beat this old guy," and a little pride in his eyes, and Tommy went back over and took another piece, and the old man said this. He said, "Son, you shouldn't have done that." He took his hand and went, boom, 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 boom. In checkers, that's called the Jacob's ladder. And then he said these words, "Crown me." And he had a king on the back reaches of the board. If you know anything about checkers, a king can go any direction. With the game tied and with old Mr. Smith with the king, the game was over in a few minutes. Mr. Smith looked across the board and said to Tommy, "Nice game, sonny." And slowly leveraged himself up in the chair, and he made his way over to the steps of the old country store and began to slowly make his way down, just one step at a time, and just down, and he was almost down, and Tommy called. He said, "Sir," he said, "can I ask you a question?" The old man said, "Yes, what is it, son?" He said, "Sir, how'd you do that?" And here's what Mr. Smith told Tommy. He said, "Son, sometimes you have to give up a few pieces to get the crown. And Christians today, sometimes we have to give up a few pieces of what this world has to offer so that someday Jesus Christ can give us a crown and say, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.'" I close with this. If you today do not know for sure you're on your way to heaven, you can know for sure. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, "These things have I written that ye may know that you have eternal life." A lot of people are trying their best. They're working hard. A very famous person by the name of Mother Teresa said in her biography, "I hope I've done enough good works to go to heaven." And she did more good works than I could ever dream of doing. But the Bible says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." If you do not know for sure you're on your way to heaven, Pastor will direct a man to a man and a lady to a lady. In just a few moments, we can show you how you can know for sure. Because you can know you're on your way to heaven.